Hey, what's good, you guys? It's your girl, L'Oreal.
It's your girl, Drea.
And you're listening to
Lux Lifestyle.
Lux Lifestyle. It is a new episode, and we're ready to get right into it. Yes. So let's just get right in. Thank God for emojis.
Man, my emoji would have to be, I want to say, it's going to be the little face with the tongue and a little sweat on the side.
The hot one?
Yeah, it's okay. Like, I'm just moving around so much, I just don't have time to just cool down and relax. So I'm going to just say that's my emoji. It's been a long, well, not really a long work week, but a long work week. And my
girl,
computer died.
Girl, it's Tuesday.
I know, and I'm just like, because I've been working the entire week, so this is my off day.
Oh.
So I'm just like, and I'm still moving around. Okay. Don't get no break. So it's, yeah, I just need to rest, drink, sleep.
It's just you time.
I'm just like, yeah. What would you say yours is?
Mine is the tired emoji.
I feel you.
I'm tired, y'all.
I feel you.
I know each week I keep coming with the same thing, but it just is.
What it is.
My nerve disease is just not letting up on me. I had a doctor's appointment yesterday morning at 8. Don't know what made me pick the 8 o'clock, because baby, it was hard, but I got there at 8. I was already scheduled for this doctor's appointment, but I specifically needed to go even more, because over the weekend I went to my aunt's house and they was having like a blood pressure party.
What?
Childish. So, girl, they took my blood pressure and it was like super duper high. Like, ooh. It's like normally supposed to be 120 over 80, uh-huh. And mom was like 195 over 106. It's because I have, like I said, my nerve disease is chronic, so I'm always in pain. So when I that day had been a super long day, and my mom was like, look, either you need to go to the emergency room, or we need to really make sure when you go to the doctor, we tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
Went to the doctor that morning at 8, my pain doctor, my blood pressure was still high. Yeah. So they were like, you can either go to the ER or go see your PCP. I got an appointment in with my PCP the same day. And she was like, well, I don't think it's your blood pressure because it runs on both sides. Mm-hmm. She was like, I just think it's from the pain. So let's manage the pain.
Dang.
Gotta figure it out. So from all of that, I guess I can actually do two emojis. One of them is the tired emoji, but one of them, again, is the flashlight. The flashlight, because I felt enlightened.
Okay.
From all that pain yesterday, I decided that I can't do a big event like I want to for my nerve disease, but I'm gonna do a small event, and just gonna be at a restaurant in town.
Okay.
November 4th is National CRPS Awareness Day, so I'm gonna ask everybody that I know, friends, coworkers, everybody, to wear orange that day.
Okay.
And I'm gonna have like a little dinner, and I'm gonna pass out cards, letting everybody know exactly what my nerve disease is.
Okay.
And we're just gonna wear orange and celebrate that I've made it these 3 years, even though it's been hard.
I'm
gonna keep
you.
On pushing.
I feel you.
So that's what I decided. So if you are off on November 4th, for girl,
okay, be that thing.
Everybody wearing orange. There are t-shirts on Amazon, but if you don't want to buy a t-shirt, everybody who's listening, you're welcome to just wear orange that day.
Right.
If you can't make it to my event, take a picture in orange and put the hashtag I stand with L'Oreal.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, so we're just gonna go, and I'm letting everybody know what CRPS is, and there's no cure right now, but we're gonna find some, make it shake. I plan on being an advocate for this thoroughly, because I want to find a way to make people aware of what's going on in everyday lives of everybody.
Yeah.
And just to bring awareness to invisible illnesses. So
you're enlightening me. I wanted to, like, I thought about doing something in college for like people, for like foster care kids,
mm-hmm.
but like I was just so embarrassed by what happened with me. I was like, I don't want nobody to know I was in foster care. Everybody know now. Yeah. But at that moment, it was just like, But now that I'm back home, and I listen to you about your advocacy, I'm like, well, maybe I could find a purpose in something. Like, you know, like, help people understand, like, after you graduate college, it's like you get thrown out to the streets. You don't know what to do.
Seriously.
You don't know what to do. And by you being under the state of Texas, it's a lot of things that, you know, you have to go through to just live. And I'm just like, I just want kids to understand it's hard.
Yeah.
And if I can be the advocate, I definitely will. So I don't mind thinking we can come together, make a plan.
Let's do it. I'm at lit. The point where people don't understand everything. And now that we have social media and all these different outlets
right.
to express and explain them,
yeah.
why not use it for what it is?
That's
we
true.
Have these platforms. We have this podcast. We have all these different ways of letting people know what's really going on. So
yep.
let's do it.
Okay. I'm down for it.
All righty. So I do want to do a panel. For CRPS Awareness Month, that's in November. There's also Pain Awareness Month, that's in February, but we're gonna stick with the orange right now in November. And I want to get everybody who has an invisible disease out to talk with me so people can know what we go through. I know a lot of us think these diseases or cancer or anything will come to us when we're older. We don't realize that at 23 right. or 24, 25, that it can happen to us yeah, right now. So
definitely.
I want people who have gone through it and people who haven't gone through it to hear the stories of all of us who
yeah.
are dealing with these things. So that panel is coming soon. I'm going to be reaching out to people. So please, if you hear this podcast and you're interested, reach out to me if I haven't reached out to you. And I'm going to get this thing together, y'all.
Hey.
So,
topics.
We're struggling with grace. Who we got? Who we got with struggling with grace? What was your first story, girl?
I want to say the shooting in Dallas that just happened. Atiana Jefferson. She was killed. If you didn't know, she was killed. I want to say, was it yesterday, right? Or the day before yesterday?
Maybe Sunday.
I want to say Sunday-ish. And the whole story to me is still kind of like, grainy. I'm just like, what was the point?
So from what I heard on the news, it was that she was in her home with her nephew who was visiting her. Their police officer was called on a welfare check,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not wrong, and he was calling her name. She didn't answer. He had the flashlight. And then she raised the window to look out the window. And within the second of her pulling the thing to raise it, he shot her. Like, there was no, it was like one, two shot. Like, it was
like,
all in one thing.
Fast. Like, she wouldn't have had time to respond.
She didn't have time to respond. There was no time. It was literally him looking for her, her realizing that he was looking, her raising the window, him shooting her.
Wow.
From what we've gathered, the information from the news and from articles, the officer did resign, but Fort Worth police officer said that they were going to fire him
mm-hmm.
regardless if he resigned. He just resigned ahead of time.
Trying to still work, because usually when you resign, you can still go work somewhere else.
Yeah,
when they fire you, that's a problem. That's a hit on your record. I'm learning, y'all. I'm learning.
Okay.
So
okay.
Basically, I think he's getting charged with murder.
Right? He is, because he's been arrested.
Wow, that's in a weird way. It's like a flip to like Amber Geiger with Botham Jean, and also in Dallas, the same exact area. Dallas, man, we got to talk Dallas. What's going on?
We got to work it out. We got to work it out. We got to figure out what's going on out there. We need to shut down that whole police department
right.
and restart, rehire. We need to figure something out because this should not have happened a second time
within
weeks after the trial
of another one.
We literally just saw something that happened. You just saw the outcome from that, and then you within a week or two, you would go back and do the same thing.
Then appearing with that department, this is their ninth shooting this year.
Wow.
Of that stature. So I'm just like, that we need a 10th, 11th, 12th, 15th, 30th. Like,
well, from this, I believe that this, what, the ninth one?
Yeah. This is
the ninth one might be the big one. Yeah. This might be the one. I'm sure there won't be any more hugging in the court. There won't be any more Bible giving, any more hair fixing, none of that.
Nothing.
This one, we need to see some real justice being served in here.
Definitely. Definitely. That just, and then it's just like, it's not even policing. It's just, it's seeming like we're becoming more combative.
Yeah.
As a culture, when it comes to the police thing, I keep seeing Police Lives Matter stickers on people's cars when I drive down the highway. And it kind of irks me a little bit, just a tiny little. It's like, I want to say, nah, forget that. But at the same time, like, no, there are good cops.
There are good cops, and we tend to forget, but that's on both sides. There are good and bad guys and good and bad cops. And we have to remember that some are really, really good. But the ones that we've been looking at recently are the bad ones.
But the thing is, the cops, like, being an officer, I guess it's like a brotherhood, sister, whatever you want to call it.
They have each other's back.
Yeah, regardless
just like,
of right or wrong.
Just like it's a family. It's a family.
And if I just feel like if people, like, good cops just say, you know what, guys, y'all are making us look bad. Y'all doing all these X, Y, and Z. Kick them out.
But
forget about the brotherhood.
I mean, but you know what? We say that, but that's just like, we see people doing bad stuff in our city or our neighborhood and our family.
True.
We can tell them every day, you need to do better. Don't do that. This is, you're making us look bad. This, and that. That person is going to do what they want to do regardless, whether their mama told them or their homegirl or their girlfriend.
True.
You know?
True.
That's not going to change.
You just got to, something
has to be with inside of them. They have to see some real, they have to see something happen to make them realize, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So until they see something, like somebody getting real punishment.
Like some actual murder time. Like maybe like 40. I think that'll be like, wait, we can't just shoot everybody out here like
okay.
that, guys.
We're going to have to work
this
out. Maybe
they'll think about that. Man.
So another story that we had.
Miss Gina Rodriguez.
Gina.
Damn, Gina.
All right, y'all. Gina Rodriguez. I don't know if a lot of you know her, but if you do, you would know her from Jane the Virgin.
Okay.
I am a huge Jane the Virgin fan. I started watching Jane the Virgin maybe a year ago, and I literally started watching one episode, and I watched the whole season for 2 weeks and caught up.
Okay.
Jane the Virgin is a really good show. It's like a telenovela slash show. Like, they make fun of a telenovela, so it's super. it's a really cool show. And it's cool to see, like, different cultures and how we think we do things a certain way, just as an African-American culture.
Oh, yeah.
But the Hispanic culture is basically the same. Like, they go through the same stuff. The grandma's always got something slick to say.
Yep.
To get back and forth with the mama.
Yep.
The grandma got your back over the mama back. So, it's basically the same thing.
Real life.
She's also in another Netflix movie called Someone Great with the star of She's Gotta Have It.
I want to say her name is Deanna.
Yes.
She's so pretty. She's gorgeous.
Her and then Brittany Snow.
And then Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah.
That's my dude right there.
So we're giving you all this background on Gina because we're trying to, you know, let you know who she is so we can tell you the dirt. So what happened was today, actually, Gina was on her Snapchat as she was getting her hair done for a new movie, and she was singing the Fugees song,
Ready or Not,
and she said the N-word, but she was singing the song.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to play that audio for you, but we'll add that clip in later. And she she sung Ready or Not, she said the N-word, and I don't see the issue.
It really wasn't even about the fact that she said it. First off, it's just the intent. The intent was she was singing a song. People are looking at it like she just went out and said the
there was N-word no malicious intent behind
N-word.
It.
She didn't say anything.
Yeah, there was no malicious intent behind it. She literally was singing the song. And that takes me back to our previous episode where we talked about the N-word
in
music. And everything, and people getting upset about the N-word being in all of this stuff around us. Mm-hmm. You can't be upset when you have it in everything around us.
Yeah, if we sing,
we have music. Music is to be sang. Music is to be repeated. And if you didn't want the word in there, you wouldn't put it in the song.
Exactly.
So what are you upset about? You knew, I mean, there was literally no malicious intent. She was singing one of her favorite songs. She said that was her favorite song as a child. She grew up on that song, just like many of us have grown up on the Fugees.
Right. I think mostly, I'm starting to see a lot of people get mad when non-people of color just say it now. Like, it's starting to seem like she said the N-word. It don't matter if it's a song or just she was citing the lyrics. Like, she said that. Oh no, cancer. And it's like, well, hold on. I don't want to be that person to say, hold on, we got to make an exception. But we can't get mad at every little thing. Because if that's the case, then everybody should be mad at a lot of other things that have been said too. But we're nitpicking again. That's what we said last episode, how people nitpick when be mad about it. And it's like, how can you be mad about her saying the N-word when she didn't say it on some like, AUN words here? Like,
because that's the thing. Most of the time when we get upset about the N-word being said, it's because somebody had malicious intent behind it.
Yeah.
So when there's no malicious intent and they're just reciting a song, they're wrong still.
Right? So it's like, at what point does the N-word stop being used, period?
At what point do we take accountability for having that word being used so consistently and so casually?
Yep.
That's what we have to talk about.
And they're not ready for that conversation. I don't think nobody ready for that conversation.
When y'all ready for it, we got you. Come on. Come talk to us. Come talk to Lux Lifestyle, because we sick of y'all playing.
Yes.
You know what it is. You've made it a casual thing. You made it a consistent conversation.
Exactly.
You made it a tool of friendliness and welcoming. Well, you gotta welcome the whole world to it if that's what you want.
It's a verb. People use the N-word as a verb now. I'm just like, dang. And then it's just, I don't know. And then another thing, you got Kim and Kanye.
Okay, y'all.
Kanye
so
gets on my nerves.
I tell y'all all the time, I try to be well versed in everything, and I'm not a Kim supporter, but I'm not a fan either.
I can't do them at all.
It's not that I hate them. I don't dislike them, but
I just don't think it's not a problem.
I mean, it's a lot of people out here that shouldn't be famous.
You're right.
It's a lot. It's a lot. We got all these struggle rappers, all these mumble rappers, all these
dreadlocks.
Like, come on. Like, stop. Yeah. Cut it out. It's a lot of people that's famous that shouldn't be famous. But we all listen to them and let it go on.
Right.
So when we talk about the N-word and making that a casual thing, we got to talk about us casually letting all these people become famous.
Is it anybody?
And picking. Yeah, anybody, you kind of pick and choose who you want to be, who you want to like, and who you like. No, not you, but social media.
Yeah, for real.
Like social media, pick and choose who they want to like. Like 6ix9ine is cool, but you don't like the Kardashians. Like, come on,
that's true. It's
you
it's
feel me?
Like,
so
hate them all equally.
Really, it gotta be either you gonna like them or you gonna love them. I'm sick of it. With this conversation with Kim and Kanye, it was recorded on the a recent episode of the Kardashians. So basically Kanye and Kim were having a discussion about Kim and her sexy pictures. Kim says that Kanye was kind of giving her some anxiety because he told her that he was uncomfortable with her taking and posting sexy pictures. And she said, you're the one who
built me
up to feel this way about myself. And now you are going through your personal journey and you feel like that I should be on that same level.
Built me
what do you have to say? Because I see you already hot about the build me up. As soon as you heard the audio, y'all, as soon as she heard the audio, she didn't hear nothing else after Kim said, you built me up. Kim said, built me up. She built me up.
Like, what? What you mean, built you up?
Like, she's Soulja Boy.
Yes.
Right. That's what you
she
was
said,
on.
She said, built me up. And I'm like, she realized it on TV. Like, so you basically saying that your man created your image. I feel like your image is already there before Kanye. He just accessorized it a little bit more. Just threw a little salt on there a little bit more, you know. I personally feel like, I get what she's saying, though. I'm not going to, I don't like Kim Kardashian, I don't like her. But I kind of get what she's saying, because she's saying, you know, why are you telling me the change after all these years? At the same time, that's Kanye's fault. You roasted your wife on every platform I could think of when you married her. And she was nude. Every time I saw Kim K, I'm like, she nude again. She's in the bathroom. Okay, we know.
And he gassed her up on numerous interviews.
Yeah.
He said, I love my wife being sexy. I remember he was on The Breakfast Club, and he said that he loves his wife showing off her nude body. He was like, he can't wait for, he knows that his daughter is one day going to be probably built like his wife.
No.
And she's probably going to be doing the same thing, too. So he wants her to feel comfortable. He was on The Breakfast Club, and he said that. I'm not going to say he said those words verbatim, but that's basically what it all led up to. That's what he summarized it to me.
You want your daughter to be like your wife.
But he didn't. He doesn't see a, he doesn't see a problem with that. He does not see an issue with that. What he, so I'm on what you're saying as far as Kim. When and well, let's retract. Let's go back to the build. So I'm back to you on the build.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have a problem with her saying built because I took it a different way.
I took the girl.
You're not buildagirl.com.
Yeah.
I took the build as in like he. You know when you say somebody like built you up to feel like something was should be a certain way, or like when you saying something, okay, built gas.
Yeah, yeah.
So when somebody say, "Now you didn't gas me up," and you
don't
know,
gas me up,
don't
girl.
gas me, but you want somebody to really gas
yeah.
you. That's where I'm getting her saying "built me up."
Okay.
So I'm thinking she's saying it like you've gassed me to think that me taking these pictures are cool. Like you liked it. You've been going on these interviews,
yeah.
like I just said. You've been telling me, baby, post this, do this. You in the background saying,
"Toot." So basically, Kanye controls her.
Toot your. I wouldn't even say that he controls her per se. I would say that he is a gasser.
Yeah.
You know when you feel sexy, right? Mm. And then your boyfriend say, or your boo, or your crush, or somebody
no.
say, you, okay, I see you.
I'm like, yeah, you see me.
You he gassed you, and you like it. It yeah. gave you that extra, like, okay, I knew I was fine, but now I'm fine, because my
yeah,
man, he think it too.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm taking it from. So
yeah.
she felt like you gassed me up to think that all of this was cool, and now because you're on your separate, your Christian journey, he's going through this journey of life where he's,
remixing gospel
with the gospel music
R&B songs
and making them gospel. Whatever. He on a different journey than where he was before. And she basically saying, just because you on yours doesn't mean that I'm on that same journey as you.
Yeah.
Or even if we are on the same journey, if I've been doing something for 10 plus years and you've been saying it's okay, and then one day you wake up and say you want to change,
mm-hmm.
who says that I'm on that same level of change that you're on?
That's an interesting perspective. Also, I'm looking at by them being married, they're not really unionized. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It seems like Kanye, I don't know, ever since Donda went, you know, passed away, just mm-hmm. like, he's just been everywhere. So I'm just like, Kanye's in this box that nobody can really figure out what's going on with him first.
Yeah.
Kim
Even
is looking
Kim.
At, yeah, she's looking at, you know, I'm making money, I'm bringing in money for the family. Like, this is my image. This is who I am. This is who the world knows
this
me
is
as.
Who I've always been.
So.
And you've known that since you met me.
But
this
even
isn't
before
a.
You met me.
That's what I'm saying. Since you've met me, you knew that this is who I was. You knew that this is, like you said, how I built my money,
yep.
how I've done things.
What she brought to the table.
And you were okay with it. And because you are, again, on a different journey in your life, you think that it's okay to change mine.
Right.
And it takes me to the Dion Cole comedy special on Netflix. And he said that, you know how we know men and women are women mature faster than women all the time. Women mature faster than men. Okay. Women mature. Okay, y'all, you know, words
I
get messed up.
Hey, I get what you're doing.
You know, players mess up
sometimes.
You know, we slip up. But women mature faster than men. So, a lot of times when women are on a particular, like, great journey at a particular age, that's amazing. This is who we are. This is where we're expected to be. We find a man that's on that same journey.
Yeah.
But then 10 years later, we've grown emotionally, physically, spiritually.
Everything.
Everything. And the man is still on the journey that he was, because again, we say men don't mature as fast as women, and let's not even say 10 years, let's say 5 years.
Mm,
let's
That shows a whole
different. We can say 2 years. We can say 2 years. You can see where that man and that woman differ.
Yeah.
And y'all have to have that conversation of, okay, this is where I am. This is where you are. Mm-hmm. What can we do to get a better in between?
Yeah.
And when we doing this, I know the Kardashians like to have everything publicized and on television
nearly
and all
everything.
Of that different things. But some conversations aren't meant for the world to see. Some conversations are meant for husband and wife, significant others, whatever.
Yeah.
So that particular conversation shouldn't have been a worldwide conversation to where we have a comment, or we should have our own opinion on that.
Because now we know you're not stable on the same page.
Well, I mean, we've been knowing that for a while. Yeah. If you watch the show, Kim has been saying that she just not understanding Kanye right now with him going through this mental health issues.
Yep.
And he's really changing for her, and it's different. They have all these kids now. The doggone nigga got a basketball team
for
kids.
Real.
And life is different.
I just wish he would have stayed with Alexis. If he didn't do Alexis wrong, we would have been good. Kanye would have probably been on some, like, what Ryan Leslie would have been had Cassie not been taken from him by Diddy. Just in case y'all didn't know that. I was like,
girl, come on, backstory.
Oh my gosh. I was like, what? But I just feel like by him being with Kim, I think it's like, because to me, Kanye's an ego person. He's an ego freak, whatever you want to call
That's
it.
That's why he got with Kim. Yeah. Kim is the hottest person in the game.
Yep.
And he couldn't get Beyonce because Jay-Z got her, so boom.
He wasn't going to get up regardless.
You stupid.
And that just brings it to, like, the issues of, like, women needing to understand who they are and stand on their own ground, because there's a post going around that Snoop posted with Keisha Kayora and Gucci Mane. And so he was just basically, like, saying, you know, see how when you stay down, you come up and you know, do right. You basically come up in the game with your man and you reap the benefits. Problem with that, though, is that, okay, was this with lying Gucci, cheating Gucci, broke Gucci? Which Gucci did she get?
Publicly having women while he was in a relationship with Keisha Gucci.
Right.
And that takes us back to another episode where we talked about the ride or die aspect and how women are supposed to be seen as that ride or die, that Bonnie and Clyde, you got to be there for that man while he's going through that. And I saw Tokyo Vanity. I love Tokyo Vanity. That's my girl. She took her own little flip on that. And she said, I know women who have done the Keisha Kayora and Gucci ride or die chick vibes. Mm-hmm. And they didn't always end up like Keisha Kayora and Gucci.
Yeah, there is a slight difference in their story, though. Because she, apparently when he went to jail, he left her money. She flipped it and made it to $4 million. So I was like, there's a slight difference. I mean, you know, all praise to her. That's what they,
I mean,
you know.
But my thing is, it's women out here. The man didn't leave them nothing, and the woman's coming back and providing more, 10 times more. She working 3 jobs to make sure that she's sending him money to put on his books. She's sending money so he can have food when he get back, so he can have clothes, so he can, when he get back, he don't have a job, he don't have a car, so she got to take care of him, take care of the kids, take care of the clothes, buy the food. So, I mean, it's doggone near it's doggone near for whatever Keisha made, because I didn't pay all this money to do this and this and this and this. So don't do that. At least Gucci had the money to give it to her so she could flip it.
That's true.
These dudes not even leaving the money for the girls to do nothing.
So why do it? Why women who, okay, I'm just gonna say it like this. Women who do that, what do you expect to get out there in the end? Like a ring or him to stay? Because at the end of the day, if he cheating, doing all this different stuff, and he ain't got no money on top of that, you still, because it reminds me of an episode of Steve Wilkos' show I watched today.
Mm-hmm.
This woman has 4 kids. This woman, this is her ex-husband. They got back together. They had a one-night stand, had a child. He was denying the child.
Who child?
Right. So apparently, as the show kept going on, he kept saying the kids were sleeping on the floor. And then Steve was like, are you working? He's like, I'm doing a little something, so I can't bring that much money in the house. And she's like, yeah, I take care of the kids. I cook, clean, X, Y, and Z. I'm like, you named about 10,000 different jobs that you did. But the one man, he didn't say nothing about I'm working 12-hour shifts, 14-hour, 20-hour shifts to supply for my kids. He just said I'm making money as best as I can. But your kids are sleeping on the floor.
Man, and Bro, we didn't have so many episodes. It take me back to the Superwoman complex. Women, we've been taught to work hard no matter what. Yep. If the man there or not,
yep.
We didn't got so used to it that we let the man still be there.
You sacrifice love for that. Call that love.
We'll let the man be there, and we still doing the if he there or not,
yeah.
And not letting him help, or he not trying to help, and we just letting it be.
Then what are you there for?
We have to, as women, and I'm going to say we, because I know we've all been in a situation where we've done it.
Or we witnessed it.
Or been around it, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. We have to take them steps. Like, come on. Like, stop doing that. Stop letting these men make you think boys. Shoot. Let's say boys. Yeah. We're going to say boys because a man won't let you do that.
Exactly.
These boys are bumping your head up, gassing your head up to think that you have to be that woman, that ride or die, and they not being that ride or die for you.
Exactly. Even JT, you know, JT's got released out of prison. You know, everybody was happy about that. She even said when she was in prison, she learned that she's around other women who are in jail because for my man kind of thing. And she learned, she's like, honestly, ladies, you know, don't go to jail for these guys because turn around, one girl, her boyfriend flipped on her, ended up getting out earlier than the girl did. And the girl was basically just an accomplice. Like, she was just the driver. He did the whole crime. But he caught a deal. And it's just the fact that you ride it out, you went to prison for him, and look what he ended up doing to you. So why? Let's stop the struggle love story narratives in 2019 going into 2020. We deserve better. All I'm saying, we deserve way better.
This is the last quarter, baby. Let's get it way together. Better. Let's leave these men behind.
Exactly.
All righty. Now, we are moving into our luxuation.
Uh-oh.
All right, so y'all, our luxuation is about the professional world. We're going to talk about work relationships, personal and professional.
Man.
If we dig right into it, we're going to talk first on the millennial versus baby boomer generation of workers.
Yeah.
You know, as we're getting into the more into our careers and an age, we're working more with that baby boomer age.
Mm-hmm.
So the 25-year-olds are working with the 50+.
Yep. Literally.
And basically the people who are our parents' age.
Yep.
So they tend to look at us as their children or nieces and nephews and not equals or peers.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I had two situations. One old situation and one current situation where I dealt with these situations. They were pretty like hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with me never having to deal with something like this before, because as you said before, when you get in after college, they just kind of throw you into the real world.
You get thrown out, tossed.
So you don't really expect in school, they don't prepare you for that part of life. They prepare you for, I don't even know what they really prepare you for, because they really don't prepare you for anything except math.
I feel like we're all winging it out here. Math, for one, math. I'm like, I've never used a Pythagorean. I can't tell you what that was for and why we learned it, but they spent so much time teaching us that and not teaching us how to do the basic fundamental parts of life.
Things that we need.
Right?
So, I know for me personally, if I talk about work relationships, I know the first time I experienced the baby boomer versus millennial conversation is when I worked at another temp job, and there were three women who were older than me. At first, they kind of started off as like the motherly, I'll help you, mm-hmm. let's do this, people, and then we went into the, all right, this is the end of the job. This young girl making the same money as me, I gotta get her out of here.
Yeah, okay, jealousy. You might as well just say that's jealousy right there.
So, one of the issues is the lady, she would ask me all the time, well, what are you doing? Did they give you work today? I don't see you doing your work or da da da. First of all, you're not my supervisor and you're not my mama. Don't worry about what work. You do your job and don't worry about what I have going on.
Right.
It got so bad to where I had to write a harassment letter and I had to send it to HR because the woman would come and she would come try to stand behind me. She would ask me, what are you doing? She would go and tell my supervisor that I wasn't doing work, but my supervisor already knew what work I was doing. Yeah. Like, it had gotten that bad, and it was just because she was upset that I was my age making the same amount of money that she was making.
Wow. Oh, I had that situation. They found out I went to college. You went to college? What'd you major in? I'm like, okay, you can tell my little business, yeah, whatever. Come to find out, somehow my name gets back to HR talking about, well, you talking about how much money you make. I said, I didn't say nothing. Out of anything, I'm not making what I deserve to be making anyway. Yeah. So I'm not proud to be making what I'm making right now. I mean, it's okay, but I know I deserve better.
Yeah.
That's my mindset. How the older people are looking at, oh, you came in without little experience to do this job I've been doing for 10 years, and you making this amount of money, or you already touching that amount of money at that moment, versus, like, working up to this,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like, hey, like, look, I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to figure out why y'all care so much about my bank account, because I'm not trying to be here for 50 years. I'm not even trying to be here for 3 or 2.
You feel me? And then
y'all can have it.
That's the thing. I think, see, we're in the age bracket where we like, okay, we just doing this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to save up, mm-hmm, so I can do what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to do this until I can do what I want to do and make the money from what I want.
Yep.
They've been doing it 50 years, and they see a new person coming in trying to take what they've been having. But, baby, if you really knew it, I didn't want it, right, in the first place.
The flip side to that, you look at a different perspective, how they looking at, not only are you coming in, but at the same time, it's like, how do I want to word it? It's like we coming in to do a job that they want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up in school, our people told us, you know, if you stay at a job for a year or two and you don't move up to position, you just go dip out. You go, yeah, about your thing. How they looking at you coming, you finna take my job? It's like, no, you can keep this job for the rest of the 45 years you want to be here.
Well, however long.
If I haven't moved up from the same position within the first 2 to 3 years I've been there, I'm moving on out.
Moving on.
If you stay here, right? If Jefferson, you stay here since 1985, that's on you. But at the same time, you gotta make yourself marketable. Because if they were to lay everybody off,
but see, the thing is, there wasn't a sense of being marketable 20 years ago.
That's true. That's true.
It didn't matter.
That's when they gotta change the times.
You had to stick to your job because you were just trying to make it.
Yep.
We are seeing that there we have to have so many different skills.
Yeah.
So we're making sure that we have all of these skills, mm-hmm, to make sure that we get to what we want or are able to do our own thing and be, yeah, our entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So for them, they're just seeing us coming in like, oh my God, they doing everything quicker, they doing it faster, they doing this, they doing that.
We have no choice but to.
We don't have a choice. We have to do this, and we have to make it do what it do, basically.
Right.
Because if we don't, we're going to be sitting at a job that we hate, like you,
yep,
for 50-plus years, yep, and waiting on retirement. And I don't want to do that.
They already got my year of when I can retire on my ID. I said, wait, they said 2040. I said, who going to be here to 2040?
Okay.
Is the world going to be here in 2040?
Okay. Like,
that's the real question. Climate change, guys, is real.
Let's move. We got to do something else. So, let's see. Another situation that I had recently, mm-hmm, is, it's not necessarily with me, uh-huh, but my coworker. It's like 3 of us that are probably the youngest in the, office.
Okay.
One of the youngest one, they treat him like the baby. His mom's best friend works there. So, you know, she already looks at him like a son and, you know, like, mm-hmm, she can talk to him a certain type of way. And then our supervisor, she does little things and says little things because she has a son his age.
Mm.
So now everybody, instead of looking at him as an employee, as the boss should,
mm-hmm,
or as a colleague, they looking at him as little baby Jay. That's what they looking
favoritism
at.
Right there.
Well, not even favoritism. Oh. It's more of, I can talk to you like I talk to my kid instead of talking to you like I talk to you, like I should have a professional conversation with you. Boy, okay, you better come over here, come talk to me. Boy, stop doing this. Or boy, you got one more time to call me, like, boy.
right?
Like, one instance that really stood out to me, my supervisor came in. She told us that she wanted us to fix our binders on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I had already done mine, and the other two of the... They tried to call us the toddler table, which I hate.
Oh.
Yeah, they tried to play us, and I called them the Golden Girls. So, y'all want to play? Let's go. Yes. Don't play, because I don't mind. I go back and forth. I'm ready at all times. You want to say toddler? Okay, Golden Girls, let's get it.
What's up, Betty White?
Blanche, let's go.
Rose.
So anyway, the supervisor, when the guys didn't move as fast as she thought they should, she went to the shelf and started throwing the binders off of the shelf and said, now come pick them up.
Who gonna come pick that up? What?
Baby girl.
What?
I looked at them.
What?
From where my seat, and I made sure that my name wasn't on any of those binders.
Right.
Because if they were, she was going to have a problem.
Right.
My name wasn't on them binders, so I politely stayed in my seat and continued my work. Mm. Baby Jay, on the other hand, decides to get up and pick up the binders.
That's, what were they called? I want to say it's bullying, for one. It's superiority. That mentality.
And in his mind, he's forgetting this is his first job.
Aww.
So in his mind, he's thinking, I have to do this because this is a supervisor. These are elders, and these are this.
Mm-mm.
No, they have a responsibility at that job to treat you as an employee.
Yep.
With respect.
Yep.
And that was disrespectful. And no, ma'am.
Baby Jay, you might need to file a little HR report now. Get a paper trail going. Just saying. Just throwing
Seriously.
It out there.
Seriously.
Because that's dehumanizing, for one. That's immature to me, personally.
It's very immature.
On top of that, it's like, okay, I'm the type of, I go tit for tat. So I'm like, you going to do that? All right, I'm going to get you then. I'm going to have to. Since you going all out like that, you throwing binders, I'm going to make sure when you come into work, you got something that you got to do.
Okay.
And you're going to have to bend down, squat, and do it.
Whatever. And I bet you my 25-year-old knees would be better than yours.
Get down like Megan Thee Stallion and come back
okay.
up.
Okay. Your knees busted and mine good. So let's see you get up after you picking up them binders.
Exactly. Exactly. That's crazy. That just goes to show you that the workplace can be a toxic place too.
Yeah.
But also brings into like how can you have a personal, professional experience with people that you work with?
I don't know. I honestly haven't gotten to that point.
I've never reached out to
like that. I don't know how we can make that work or mm-hmm. how we can even get there, because the baby boomers are always going to feel how they feel.
Yeah.
If somebody's 50 plus, they done already got past the life of growing, the age little bracket in life where you have, where you learning and you still want to take in some
stuff.
Yeah,
they didn't like,
I already know it and I don't care.
Yeah.
So if you don't like it, you don't like it. You my child's age, so you got to respect what I have. Mm-hmm. And then that's what they have to remember. I'm grown,
right?
And I don't have to respect what you're saying
at all,
because you're not respecting me.
Exactly. I think they tend to forget that. I think that's where you got to kind of like draw in. I don't know. I guess to consider, like, to have conflict resolution with that, I would say just have to sit down, like, let them know, like, look, I get you have been here for eons, but this we're not going to do. We're not going to try to sun me because I have a problem with people trying to sun me.
Yeah.
I'm already small. So I'm just like, it's whatever. And I'm the type, I used to be a firecracker at one point.
Yeah.
I've learned how to tone it down a little bit to where I'm just like, I'm going to get my point across without seeming like I'm violent.
Yeah.
Because I'm not.
But okay,
you're
OG.
You're trying to play me. You're gonna, not trying to play me at all. Like, I'm going to let you think
I'll kill you with my bare hands,
yes.
OG. For real.
That's crazy. And even with the personal aspect of it. So, y'all, I think I got a little crush on somebody to work with.
She been trying to tell y'all this story ever since we got on the app.
And I'm just like, I don't know how to navigate that, because at what point do you not... Because I've been taught, you know, as millennial, when we were growing up, you know, working at Slither on Pleasure Pier, they're telling you, don't talk to your supervisor. Supervisor, employee cannot date unless y'all are on the same level, if that makes sense. And I'm just like, I mean, I ain't gonna tell what his position is. It's going to kind of be obvious who it is if he were to listen. I'm like, dang. But we work in the same area. Say
yeah.
it like that. I don't know how to approach him and tell my like. I think he has a hint that I like him, but...
Okay.
I don't know. I'm shy, y'all. I'm 25 years old and still shy.
Okay, so do you want a listening ear, or do you want advice?
Advice.
Okay. So, if it were me, personally, uh-huh. I wouldn't start a relationship at the workplace.
Yeah.
Because... depending on how that situation ends,
oh yeah,
you don't want to bring drama to work.
Yeah.
So if y'all do decide to date and it works, when you have little rifts in the relationship, because it happens, mm-hmm. whether y'all love each other or not, y'all gonna have a little fight here and there,
mm-hmm.
and when you do fight with your significant other, y'all are able to go to work and separate and the fire die down. And then when you see each other later, it's good.
Yeah.
Well, if you dating somebody that you work with, ooh, you taking it, y'all don't get that separation time. Y'all don't get that blow down, let the steam cool down. Y'all don't get that time. It's still, y'all gonna see each other at work all day.
Yeah.
And then if they are of a higher figure, you got to listen to them.
Yeah. Oh, at work. Now I think about that. Dang it.
You know, I mean, I can understand you thinking he cute and you want to you want to see where it goes. But I feel like just because of those.
Yeah, it's like it's a gamble, really.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And it's like no matter what happens, because if y'all don't work out, then you have to go with the fact of, dang, I got to see this dude that
every day.
If he blows you off, then you got to see a guy that blew you off every day.
Yeah.
If you think he weird, you got to see a guy that, oh my God, he's so weird, I got to see him every day. And you know when it's those weird dudes that you be trying to duck and dodge from, you can't duck and dodge. You can't do that.
At all.
That's your supervisor.
I'm going to be like, dang, bro, I'm like, I don't want to be in a room right now. I'm gonna walk around.
You know, so it's like, or he could get mad at you and use his superiority. Ooh. And you know, it's like, you're it's right. So many things you got to think of when it go into that particular thing.
Shut up. He would. That's why I'm like, I don't want to do it.
Any bosses that I've ever had that I may have thought was cute, I just went ahead and not.
I quit till I quit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, once you quit or you move on or he moves on and y'all not in the same position, or even if y'all still work at the same place and just at different, y'all not under each other, it'll be cool. But working in the same environment, in the same place, and he's your supervisor or your first or your lead or whatever the case may be, I don't think that that's a good
good combo. Because that would be like on some, like, I played a scenario, like, we were to argue, say we were to date, we argue, okay, we handle it at the house, but say we go to the workforce, and it's like, all right, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm like, hey, can you do this for me really quick? Cool. Bye. If people find out we were talking or whatever, they'd be like, oh, so y'all going together. So what's going to happen if y'all get into it?
See, and I'm just like. And then that's another thing you have to look into and think about is if other people figure out about the relationship.
Yeah.
Or
somebody might like him.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you are already in relationships, you don't like everybody being in your mix, because it's always the outside source that has something to bring in.
Yep.
At work, it's even worse. Because you got the girls that like him. You got the guys that like you. You got the people who don't like either one of y'all, who don't want you to be happy. You got the people that's not happy with themselves.
Yep.
So they want you to be, like, you know, that's when I say, like, being with somebody at the workplace, I just don't think it's nothing good can come from it at all.
Yeah.
Because it's just so many different options, so many different people and ways that they can come at you that it's just
true. Because I had a situation like that when I was in high school before I left for college. So I worked at the, I don't know if I should release the name of it. I worked at this place, and basically it was a guy that liked me. I kind of liked both of them. I was like, I like this a little bit more, a tad bit more.
Yeah.
So I'm hanging out with both of them. I have to work with both of them. So we just all, you know, doing our job. But people kind of know that, okay, such-and-such likes Andrea. Such-and-such likes Andrea, too. So I left it at that. So as time went on, I'm just like, I'm venting to my head supervisor. He was real cool. I was like, hey, yo, like, damn, I'm going through these issues with these guys. Like, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, all right, cool, whatever. Like, just listen to me as a friend. Should listen to me. I come back to work the next week. He changes our schedules from around each other. So I notice I'm always with the manager. So I'm like, why am I always with you and not with the other two at other locations? Come to find out, when I go to college and come back, you know, and everything had died away, I'm no longer with the job, the manager had a crush on me.
Yeah.
So me telling him that two guys like me and I like one of them, it made him mad, because it's like, oh, you paying attention to them two. Well, I'm going to move you closer to me. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So
and it's like, those are things you got to think of. And then think about another way it could have went if you talking to the supervisor. Yeah. That's why one thing that I've taught myself is, especially in jobs in the workplace, no matter how cool the supervisor is, you don't want to get too cool with them sharing too much personal stuff.
Yeah.
Y'all was kids, so that's different.
Yeah.
But in, like, in real life, adult life, you don't want to do that because the supervisor could either take it the way yours did, where he liked you and changed the schedule so you wouldn't be with them.
Yeah.
Or they could change your schedule saying you too worried about, or they can change your schedule, you too worried about these guys, you're not worried about the work, or they can say, well, you so worried about these guys, how about I take you off the schedule completely?
True. That is true. Dang, y'all, because I don't do day naps. I'm just like, ain't nobody in Galveston County I could talk to or feel like I would be talking to. I can't think of not one person I'll be like, dang, I would talk to him.
So,
there's nobody.
Andrea, what's your type? What kind of guy do you like?
My type. Ooh, we're talking about physically or personal?
Everything. Just everything.
Okay, so.
Like, if you had an ideal guy, like, if you could build a guy and it would start from head to toe. Like, I need him to be smart. Whatever. Okay. So, okay. What would be your guy?
My guy would be intelligent, funny, a family man. First of all, man of God, for one. Okay. In a sense, he ain't got to be religious, just spiritual. I just want him to know who he is as a man.
Yeah.
I prefer black, but hey.
Yeah.
But I want a chocolate. I want chocolate babies look just like
you
me.
You silly.
He would have to be somebody that's flexible. Like, when I mean by flexible, like, he's somebody that can hang around everybody. Like, he's somebody that just blends in. It works.
Yeah.
Well-rounded. I want to say, he don't have to be tall. I'm short, so it's really anybody. You're everybody taller than me. Yeah. So, I ain't got really too much emphasis on it. But I want him to have his head on straight and know who he is as a man, you know. And no kids, because I ain't got none. Sorry, but I don't do kids, because I don't have any right now. I couldn't date nobody have a kid, because I want that experience for the first hand between me and him. Like, oh my gosh, we're having a baby. And it's
so
like,
you want to be Melanie from the game.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to play with you.
You know, I want my first be his first.
But see, I used to think like that, but like, we 25 now.
True.
It's 2019.
It's bound to
almost
happen.
2020. It's a lot of guys out here with children. Like, it's very seldom that you're gonna find a guy that does not have a child.
This
right
just hurts
now.
Me. I'm just gonna buy
like,
dogs.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying that there's not any guys out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you think about it, it's really not slim. Too many guys, especially with it's every year that we get older.
Yeah.
Our age, like, of guys that we kind of have that little bracket, kind of moves up.
Yeah.
And as it's moving up, we're having guys that have kids.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, not that you can't get that and it's not happening, because I pray if that's what you want, that God will
put
it out
there.
I
know, I pray to God, please.
But, I mean, you got to be open.
I don't do the baby mama, baby daddy drama. I don't do that.
Everybody don't have baby mama, baby daddy drama.
Like, if that was your ex-wife, I'd be like, all right, I guess.
Well, if they was married, then yeah, I'm sure they would have had some kids,
right, I'm
maybe.
Like, okay, you know, commitment, you there, you stayed. Right? Okay, so I'll look into that. But if it's baby mama, I'm like, nah, bro, you got to move around. Nah.
All right, so let's do this. I feel like we need to set you up on some blind dates. Can we do that?
We can do that.
Can we do that?
I'm going to do that. I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to be risky.
Y'all, okay. So, y'all have to make sure that we do this. We are going to set Andrea up on some blind dates. If you are a guy and you're listening to this and you find my co-host Andrea attractive, reach out to me and we can set this up. Maybe we can do, like, a game show.
Ooh.
And you can pick the guy. You know how they used to do,
like, one, two, and three?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe we can do that, and we can find you a boo.
Okay, you know,
on the show.
Little boo thing here.
And then y'all can go, okay, y'all remember that episode of Martin with the Lil Jones connection with Shanae? That's what we're doing. Andrea Shanae Jenkins. That's what we doing, y'all. We setting it up right now.
I'm getting my kid. He like, wait, what's the song he sung the kid?
Forever Shanae. Yeah. We setting it up. Andrea, we getting you up. We gonna set you up some blind dates.
Oh,
and we gonna
snap.
Figure out some guys for you. And y'all, we gonna... Oh, I wish we had the technology to record it in our head.
Ooh.
But we gonna figure this out. We gonna get this to y'all. Because we gonna get Andrea a boo that does not work with her. Okay? We gonna find her a man that is not at her job, and we gonna find one that has the little qualifications that she has.
You know, ooh, if he could be athletic, cause I wanna be in a gym.
Oh, now she's trying to add more stuff, y'all. I'm not finna blame.
I'm trying to be fine till 20, like past 29. So fine to 29, that's my mission, to be in the gym with little squats here and there.
Well, you got 4 more years, baby. You
I know. Rushing. I gotta get on it.
I'm not
though.
Finna play. All right, y'all. So we're gonna wrap it up with our euphemism.
Ooh, euphemism of the week. I say be wise.
Okay.
Be intelligent. Be very aware of what you're getting yourself into. Whether it be work relationships, personal relationships, or just whatever situation. Speaking of, you know, the JT situation, Keisha Kaur, like, be very wise in your decisions, what you do with your life, because one mistake can change your whole life for good or for bad.
Seriously.
So be very calculated in how you move, ladies and gentlemen.
Alrighty, it's your girl L'Oreal.
It's your girl Drea.
And you just listened to another episode of
Lux Lifestyle.
And we'll be back to you next week. And guess what? We're going to be talking about Andrea getting her new boo, y'all. I'm not playing. We're going to find her boo on this next episode. See, I would do a love connection on Valentine's Day, but I feel like we need it now. So we're going to get this together, and y'all going to help us find Andrea boo. All right? All right. We'll see y'all next time.
Deuces.